Welcome to the Wretched Hive Podcast.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Moss Eisley Spaceport.
What are you talking about?
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
This is ridiculous.
We must be cautious.
Actually, we're just a bunch of guys talking about Star Wars and other stuff.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
That's good news.
Like the sound of that.
Okay, we're here for another mini episode of the Wretched Hive Podcast. I'm Steve Baldwin, and joining me tonight, Dave, do not under any circumstances ever call him Harry Potter, and we are here to unbox Dave Potter's latest recent purchase of the Ralph McQuarrie box set, the complete works of Star Wars artist Ralph McQuarrie. We have the opening of the cellophane. Now, Dave, you've had this on your bookshelf for a couple of months, I think?
Yeah, I've had it since it came out, and unfortunately I've had a really hectic work schedule the last month or so, and I haven't had the time to really be able to open it and enjoy it. And since I'm here with you tonight, and I'm basking in the glow of a USC victory over the hated UCLA Bruins.
Fight on.
I thought, what the hell? Let's make this happen right now.
That's some impressive restraint you've shown having this thing in your home for a month and not opening up. I appreciate it, and our fans appreciate it too, I'm sure.
It's what happens when you come home from work and you're basically comatose.
All right, so this box, this thing is at least, I'm guessing it's at least 10 pounds, right? I mean, this thing weighs, it's got some girth to it.
It's at least 20 pounds is my guess.
Yep, and it's two volumes, so Dave is sliding out, volume one. So the cover looks like the Darth Vader helmet, one of the original sketches, looks like a pencil or charcoal sketch that McQuarrie must have done.
This is beautiful. I don't even want to open the book.
We have a guest on the show tonight, my lovely wife, Lisa.
Hello.
Lisa is watching the unboxing, too. So each one of these books is about an inch and a quarter thick, and it comes in really nicely bound, fabric-covered box. Really beautiful art on each of the volumes.
So the first thing you do with any hardcover book is you have to break the binding in a little bit. So we're not just going to open this thing up and just start leafing through it. We're just going to kind of break the binding in a little bit at a time so we don't shock it and risk damaging it for the long term. So that's the noise you're hearing right now.
Wow, this the amount of work, the volume of work in these volumes is, I'm just watching you break the seal a little bit is it's impressive. This is just an impressive piece of artwork you've got here, these books. So we're looking at the contents page of volume one, and right off the bat it hits you. It looks like an early rendition of the Tantive IV sitting in some sort of a docking bay. I don't think I've ever seen that photo before.
Yeah, the stormtroopers don't even look human in this to me. This the body proportions are off a little bit. It's almost like they're droids, which is probably not the intention, but that's just to give you a flavor of what it looks like that we're looking at. And the book is organized by film at this point. So this is organized by Star Wars and The Empire Strikes Back Part 1. So I'm assuming that Book 2 will be The Empire Strikes Back Part 2 and the entirety of Return of the Jedi.
You have a foreword from George Lucas that I need to take a picture of that before you leave. Introduction.
By somebody who's not George Lucas.
Before the Star Wars.
This just looks like some Ralph art. So I know he works for one of the aerospace firms, so we have some concept art here of planes.
Wow.
What is that?
Sorry, this is an an audio podcast. We're staring at pictures. Yeah. But these are some great shots of sort of like, I don't know, it looks like almost 2001, A Space Odyssey era space suits.
Yeah, I found the citation here. They're production illustrations for a movie called Star Dancing, which is also known as Home Free. These are the illustrations that prompted Lucas to approach McQuarrie for his own space fantasy film.
Now, McQuarrie did a lot more than just Star Wars, right? I mean, he did a lot of television. I think he did other movies. I want to say he did some other stuff for Lucasfilm as well, although I'm not.
Yeah, there's a ton of text on these pages, so we're just flipping through. So I'm just stopping at an illustration that's catching my eye.
That's interesting. A stormtrooper looks like holding some sort of a lightsaber type of a weapon.
Imperial troopers in Death Star corridor, and it's a stormtrooper holding a lightsaber facing off against a dude with a cape holding a lightsaber. I don't know if that's supposed to be Luke Starkiller or somebody else, but never seen a stormtrooper with a lightsaber before. Mm-hmm. This has got to be early C-3PO concepts.
Yeah.
Very, very human-esque. Very different from what 3PO winds up being. Mm-hmm. And you can see a progression here as we flip through the pages. Oh, that's beautiful. That's early R2-D2.
That's gorgeous. So it's almost like a blueprint drawing of an early R2 concept. And I love these images of the early 3PO. And, of course, there's the classic one with sort of the day the earth stood still sort of motif with 3PO and R2 in the background, sort of like walking or hobbling with arms sort of splayed out in every direction.
So here's some early, more filled-in Darth Vader concept. Two distinct helmet designs here. Actually, three, excuse me.
Look at these little... I mean, these drawings are small. I wonder if they're actual size. I know he did some that were really tiny, like, you know, 2x2. He would just sketch on whatever piece of paper he, you know...
I can't imagine all of these are real size, because there's no way to get detail doing something that's in this book, at least being reproduced, as I'm guessing about a 3-inch by 2-inch, you know, graphic for us.
Yeah.
But here's a pencil line art. I've seen this particular sketch before, but it's Darth Vader fighting a Luke Skywalker or Luke Starkiller character, who's also wearing a mask, in a corridor in a spaceship. But what's fantastic about this is you have the final beautiful full color poster art on one page, and on the opposite page you get just basically the line pencil art before there's any inking or any coloring or any painting done. So you can really just see the raw, you know, artist technique on what this is supposed to look like. And the corridor is very definitely the interior of the Tantus IV.
Oh, and then you've got this gorgeous full-color double spread of that, the iconic image of the original draft sort of look of Vader and Luke. Looks to be Luke in the corridor. Oh, now we're on to Cloud City here.
These
are beautiful.
Just obscenely gorgeous. Going from initial thumbnail, you know, line sketches of Cloud City that look nothing like what the final product is. Just basically a platform with, you know, a mass of buildings rising up off of it, to kind of something that's more resembling the final structure of Cloud City, which is a more controlled, almost saucer-esque, you know, construct just floating above a planet.
Look at the date on that. That's what's interesting to me, is this is 1975. These are sketches done for the original Star Wars, and you have Cloud City. It says
from the paint. Yeah, from the notes here, this is supposed to be for Alderaan.
Okay, so you're looking at January 75. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I've heard a lot about Lucas is that he never throws an idea away. You know, there's a lot of recycling of ideas. You never know when something that doesn't fit today might work tomorrow. And it looks like exactly how we approach Cloud City. Of course, with Cloud City appearing, not appearing until Return of the Jedi 6 years after the original film.
Yeah, and that's what any good writer is going to do. They're going to have an idea, and they're just, you keep a file and you throw it in there, and 20 years later, maybe you do something with it. But here's a quote from Macquarie. In looking for a certain feeling for Alderaan, I had various architectural elements in mind. George said the city would be floating in the clouds, just levitating there. I thought, well, that's sort of like a Flash Gordon city, but I wanted something more mechanical, and I came up with something like the side of an aircraft carrier with all the openings for various purposes. I put a city on top of it that looked like it had ancient monuments and so forth, sort of a golden city. I painted a picture of that with gray clouds, and I liked that pretty well. Alderaan represented where the bad guys hung out. It was their main place, the palatial residence of the palatial residence of the leaders, but it turned out that it just wasn't possible to keep it in the script because they had too many places to go. They just had to edit out some locations.
Amazing. I mean, that really goes to the creative process with thinking, you know, George thinking through these movies, what he wants to use when. I love that shot of the Y-Wing.
Yeah.
That's a great shot, flying over the Death Star.
There's so much in this book. I'm like, if we talk about every page, we're going to have a seven-hour podcast. So I'm
No doubt about it. that's fine. Fast forward a little bit. Yeah, this is...
I'd never heard, sorry to interrupt, that Cloud City was a concept that dated back to, you know, original drafts of the original film.
Yeah, nor did I.
And I thought
that's really cool.
I thought I knew all the good Star Wars lore in that sense.
So you got the sand crawler. You got shots of Tatooine. Look, what might be Jabba's palace on the pages just prior to this one.
Or the cantina.
Or it could be the cantina.
And here's a lot of evolution of stormtroopers.
Oh, I think that might be the original Chewie.
Yeah, this is the original Chewie. This page. Yeah. Sorry.
Right. No, that's okay.
Steve and I are sitting opposite of each other, and because of the size of the book, I have a really good view of one of the pages, and he has a really good view of the other page. So when they're different, we're literally not on the same page.
Not the first time that would happen on this show, for sure.
Won't be the last time tonight, I'm sure.
Oh, that's really cool, too. I love the blueprint sort of style drawings of R2.
Yeah, but look at this. I mean, he's got detailed drawing of weapons, guns, a lightsaber. I didn't realize Macquarie got that into the nitty-gritty of stuff.
No. And I have seen this image on a T-shirt now.
I have, too.
Mm-hmm. What's that? This is the, it looks like the Our Heroes, the original sort of Luke Skywalker. You've got 3PO and R2. Mm-hmm. Oh, this one I think is where Luke was a girl.
Yes, you're correct. This is the notation for this illustration is that it's the Fantastic Five, dated April 1st, 1975, and it's got Han Solo with a lightsaber, Luke as a female, Chewbacca looking nothing like he does in the movie, C-3PO and R2-D2. This illustration was created during the period between the second and third drafts when Lucas considered making Luke a girl. The original working title, per Macquarie's calendar of the period, was The Fabulous Five. He later revised the title when summarizing his work on the film. Although intended as a possible marketing piece, the artwork was never utilized for any posters. This art did appear on the cover of a 1977... Media Scene magazine promoting the film and was included in The Art of Star Wars. Thank you for turning up the light.
You got it. And I love these models, the old models of the mock-ups of his drawings and paintings.
Double-page spread of the Y-Wing, just landed somewhere on a planet.
Oh, that's so cool. I want that on a T-shirt right there.
Oh,
the blueprints.
The blueprints,
So awesome. You got the early Tantive IV, followed by the Falcon.
Now we're getting down to it.
Now, the other thing I heard about these ship designs is that they had the early version of the Tantive IV, but they didn't like the original cockpit, sort of like the front of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
So they pulled that off, and they ended up using it as the Falcon cockpit. So if you look, it's sort of a conical shape on the original Tantive IV. Oh, no, that's just beautiful. So we're looking at the iconic scene in Episode 4 when they first see Mos Eisley and they're looking off the cliff across the horizon. And actually, when Obi-Wan says the famous line, "You'll never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy."
Except there's no Obi-Wan in this picture.
Right.
And Luke, I'm reading the footnote real quick, this is still in the era where Luke was a girl.
Okay.
We can't see it because her back is to us, but mm-hmm. Luke's a girl. You've got the double suns.
Twin
suns,
yeah.
And it's a gorgeous just double-page spread.
Wow. Well, we are going. This is like you said. This will be an hour and a half podcast if we go to every page. But
I want to at least try to hit on some of the Empire stuff.
Oh, look at that! That's a painting, dude.
Good Lord.
And we're looking at the Death Star matte painting. It looks like maybe the one used actually for the film, and it looks illuminated from the backside. I know I believe McCrory would paint on glass, and then they would shine a light through the backside to give it that illuminated look. Just beautiful.
So the note for this picture that I just randomly flipped to, model miniature Death Star, November 12th through December 13th, 1976. The Death Star model was painted by McCrory using the color scheme he had already established on his flat paintings. Thousands of holes were scratched in the painted surface that allowed it to illuminate brilliantly from a light source within the model.
Mm. Gorgeous. And we're going to see that or something very similar in Rogue One coming up in about a month.
It's
the trench.
Except it's all digital now.
Yes. Will it be? Will they use matte paintings at all?
I'm sure they will use some of it. I mean, if there's one thing Abrams brought back into the world, it's practical effects. But
right,
there's also no substitution for digital in some of these areas either.
Sure.
So I'm just trying to randomly flip ahead to the Empire Strikes Back portion. So this is,
I got AT-AT walkers.
I'm pretty sure this is actually one of the paintings that I talked about having as a kid. I remember this. This is the walker down with two snowspeeder prototypes zooming by and a couple of foot soldiers running up to the walker to presumably finish the job.
Got Echo Base gunners. Got the Falcon inside Echo Base.
Yeah.
The X-Wings. Oh, that's gorgeous. I want that on my wall. The Falcon and X-Wings inside the hangar at Echo Base.
And I'll tell you, Echo Base is gorgeous in these painted pictures. I mean, the actual production has nothing on the value of what this thing looked like in McQuarrie's mind.
No doubt. No, that's an image. Go back one. Yeah. That's an image I don't think I've ever seen. This is like the control room in Echo Base. You've got someone, maybe presumably Han, looking over his left shoulder at C-3PO and R2. Yeah, I don't think I've seen that image. Wow, there's a lot of content in this book.
So this is the note. There's a accompanying note here for this illustration from McQuarrie. George said, "I want a radar room with all these little separate consoles and an ice tunnel." And so he did it, and then George said, "Oh, I like it, but put in R2 and 3PO because it seemed we're doing a lot of stuff and we haven't included them."
Okay.
So that's where that came from. George Lucas said it was so, and it became so. This is, I'm assuming, early 2-1-B concept.
Mm-hmm.
And there's
Luke in the back to tank.
With a very close-to-film-looking 2-1-B right next to him. Oh, my God.
No. All right.
We're gonna pause to appreciate this for a moment.
Wow. We're at page 283 of volume 1, and we have turned to The Art of the Star Wars Holiday Special.
I did not realize McQuarrie was associated with this in any fashion whatsoever, but this is interior of a Wookiee home on Kashyyyk, and concept art painting of Wookiee characters, including Grandpa Wookiee.
What year is that? Is it credit or does it have the year there?
I'm looking. I don't see a year credited here yet anymore.
It's got to be 76 or 77.
Yeah.
I would think 77. Wow.
While McQuarrie greatly enjoyed working on the Wookiee planet, he too never saw the holiday special. Quote, "Frankly, I didn't see the Wookiee special. I was out of the country when it was on."
Mm. He missed something special, that's for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. This is so cool. I too did not know that he was associated with this. Wow, this is going on for several pages. You've got to some full color renderings of the interior. Now that is that the exterior? Yeah, it's a great shot. So you're looking at sort of down from the deck outside of the Wookiee home, of Mala's home.
Yeah, looking straight down, probably a couple of miles to the forest canopy on the floor of Kashyyyk.
And these look like the stills that were used for the exterior shots of the show itself.
Yeah. Matte painting, point of view from Wookiee home and trees. Macquarie produced two matte paintings on glass for the holiday special.
Wow.
Those two.
There you go.
Wow.
We know our holiday special here at the Wretched Hive.
We are. Well, it is, you know, we missed Life Day by 2 days, so this, it is kind of appropriate that we find this now.
Although I did get your text or your message about it. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Happy Life Day to you, my friend.
Happy Life Day to you too, sir.
Imperial Probroid.
Yeah, I used to have a printed that one when I was a kid.
Oh, that's great. Man, your parents were good to you.
My parents were very good to me.
Mm-hmm. Mine were too. Let's see.
I'm trying to move briskly.
Flipping through. Yep.
Yep.
Oh, Yoda's hut.
Yoda's hut.
Dagobah. Yep. Wow, that's beautiful. Well, we've made it through just about. Oh, there's some shots at the end of Empire, looking off into the distance with Han and Leia. Lots of shots of interior of ships. The battle. The
lightsaber battle.
No, I am your father. Lightsaber battle.
That is beautiful.
Oh, that is. That's great. Got a couple of Star Destroyers hovering above a planet with a sort of planet in the background.
Mm. Concept art for the asteroid belt chase.
Mm-hmm. Lots of pencil sketches, and then in various stages leading to a full color rendering. It's really neat.
Yeah, the cursory look at the book that we're giving, it doesn't just give you, here's the final art piece for Mr. Macquarie. It shows you all the iterative steps that it goes through in a lot of cases, so you can really appreciate the production value that goes into just a sketch. And then you think about it, this sketch is what's used as inspiration for the filmmakers to go out and make a film, so... Most of this stuff is never even intended to see the light of day for the general public. It's just intended for Lucasfilm and the costume designer and the director of cinematography and the production guy.
Mm-hmm. But you're looking at history there. I mean, just to get a little bit into the maestro's head here with these early pencil drawings and showing how they evolved into these sometimes these matte paintings that were actually used. It's part of the film. Really incredible. Oh, that's cool. So you have Chewie carrying a broken up, nearly destroyed 3PO. Han Solo looking cool, all as he always does, on the couch with a DL-44.
Yeah, yep. And Princess Leia in a much more virginal white Cloud City robe as opposed to the kind of redder, sadder but wiser look that she had going on in the movie.
Well, 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 what do we have here?
Hello, what do we have here?
Oh, that's right.
Hello. My name is Lando Calrissian. I am the administrator of this facility. It's Luke hanging from a pole underneath, mm-hmm. Leia with her traditional Cinnabon hairdo.
Hmm.
Still, like, so that's the art for the last real scene of the movie with any characters in it. Mm-hmm. Luke and Leia standing at the window watching the Falcon fly away from the Rebel fleet, mm-hmm. back towards the galaxy.
Line drawings of Luke and Leia, sorry to cut you off, of standing there, looking off into the distance.
No, but I was just going to say, that shot is still, that's one of those moments where I'm still a kid. Anytime I see the movie, I'm a six-year-old again in the theater watching that for the first time. Vader and Flames logo. Mm. I had a patch. There it is. Oh. I had this patch.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
This was available through the Star Wars fan club, if I remember correctly.
So it's Vader's helmet, the original prototype, and the Empire Strikes Back emblazoned below, and then in blazes above the Empire Strikes Back logo is Vader's helmet with sort of the flames coming up onto the bottom of the helmet. That's really cool. So he did these sketches of, what is that, like a belt buckle?
Yeah. So these were all apparel. I'm just reading some of the notes that were available to the crew. Like that patch, that was originally done for the shooting crew when they were in Norway.
Oh, wow. That's cool. That's a cool tauntaun.
That's a phrase you don't hear very often.
Not in these parts.
Now we're just into the back, kind of the errata, if you will, of this.
I love the Christmas
film cards. Holiday cards.
Love it. You got 3PO and R2 outside of a Christmas store, looking through the window.
R2 carrying gifts. Yep. 3PO being useless as freaking always. And that's from their December 1978 Christmas card.
That Chewie on the skis. That's awesome.
That's scary. That's what that is. If you saw that thing coming at you on the slope, you think your life is over at that point.
Not about it. Just get out of the way. Just random pencil drawings. That's great.
Cloud City.
The Cloud City security ship. Oh, what do you call? What's the name of that ship?
I think it's a. I forget.
Where's Ivansky when you need him?
It's like, oh, he's not here. He's playing the stupid guitar or something like that.
Oh, well. Well,
they're going to be mad they missed it, but okay.
Well, maybe we'll save volume 2 for them.
Whoa, what's that?
What is that? Flying whale or something?
Details from production illustration. Cloud cars over Cloud City with flying beasts, 1970.
Beast, wow.
I guess they envisioned flying beasts at Cloud City at one point.
Mm. Well, this thing is an impressive piece. Highly recommend if you can pony up a few bucks for this. It's going to set you back a couple of $100s, I think.
It's going to set you back about $200 through Amazon at least. But if you are any kind of an art, you know, or design student or aspiring person, or just have an interest in the history of filmmaking and how the vision kind of comes about, this is a good investment to make. Yeah.
100% agree. Well, thanks, Dave, for bringing it over, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode of the Wretched Hive podcast. And for all the guys, I'm Steve, and we'll talk to you in about a week at the next regular episode of the Wretched Hive. And have a good week, and we'll talk to you then.
See you then. Bye.